listening to For All the Saints, a ministry of All Saints Church, a community of faith on the campus of New Covenant Schools in Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm Jeremy Rowe. The Anglican way of faith and discipleship approaches our spiritual formation in a textured way. There is, of course, daily prayer directed by our prayer book, but there are also the disciplines of faith, such as works of charity, almsgiving, and fasting. Each week and on feast days, we celebrate the Eucharistic liturgy in which we become active participants in the passion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is also the weekly sermon, which is central to our life in Christ. Together with the sacrament of Holy Communion, the preaching of God's Word is the way we receive Christ and His gift of life. At All Saints, this ministry is shared by our ministers, Father Davidson Morse and Father John Heaton. In today's recording, we join Father Davidson in progress.
Of all of the feasts of the church year, Palm Sunday is the most contradicted. It is a terrible, horrific contradiction that we who began in the courtyard, as cold and breezy as it was, crying out how great the King was, and now in our gospel lesson for the communion service, we have killed the King. We shouted with the crowd. At the beginning, we shouted, "Lord, come quickly. Hosanna, save us now." And with the crowds in the second gospel, we shout with the crowds, "Crucify him." We wave palms as we proclaim his great and glorious rule over his kingdom. And then we shake our fists in his face as we nail him to the cross. All this we say in this one terribly conflicted Sunday, Palm Sunday, in which we see the King and we reject him, and yet he dies for his people. And all the while, we hear the words of Jesus speaking to his enemies, that if the people themselves would not praise him, then the rocks themselves, the very foundation of the temple upon which the people of Israel had founded their worship of the one true God, the temple itself would shout. And so they shouted, and they killed him. It is a deep and terrible mystery that we celebrate on Palm Sunday as we look forward to the great and joyous mystery of Easter Sunday. And these words are bound up for us in our collect appointed for Palm Sunday, one of the most ancient collects in our prayer book, dating back to the 400s. It's a bit of a theme, I'm sure you've noticed already. We're singing really old hymns, and we're praying really old prayers today. You'll find that collect on page 159 in the Book of Common Prayer, if you'd like to look at it again, or it is in your pew sheet, of course. But we prayed together in the collect, "Almighty and everlasting God, who of thy tender love towards mankind has sent thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen." We see here, my friends, the loving heart of the Father in the sending of the Son, so that each one of us, by God's grace, might take up our own cross and follow Jesus. Notice how in the opening of our collect, we hear of the Father's loving tendency leaning towards each one of us. "Who of thy tender love towards mankind?" Tender love towards mankind. In the first Sunday of Trinity, we read the epistle lesson from John's first letter, in which John reminds us, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the proclamation of the church, not that we loved God first, but that he indeed loved us. That God loves us. It's been so often represented in church architecture and art, sadly, that God is our enemy and that we somehow have to make up for all of the evil deeds that we have done. That God is presented as the angry judge who seeks to punish and seeks to get his honor restored to him. And we're lucky enough to have someone to stand in front of us and to take our death upon him. But God is angry and must be sated. His wrath must find an appropriate end. But this is antithetical to the mind of the scripture and antithetical to the mind of the prayer book. Jesus' death is as important today as it ever has been, to show what it is that God thinks of each one of us, that God loves us and seeks to be reconciled with us, that God longs to be reconciled with human beings, and to do that, he shows how far he will go to achieve that reconciliation. He will give his own Son to die for all of our sins. All of those things that we have done that have killed us in our own humanity, he has been willing to take that upon himself. And this, my friends, is what the prayer book means by God's tender love. And so we continue in our collect to hear these comfortable words that God has sent his Son to take upon him our flesh, that God is not some kind of standoffish potentate who seeks to punish and to get his deserved honor restored, but instead that God himself seeks to come into the very darkness and corruption of our human condition, that God seeks to be with us. So we hear in this Palm Sunday, year by year, Paul's great words to the Philippian Christians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in the Messiah, Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made man. It was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. We see here the great and awesome mystery of the Trinity, that Christ, eternal with the Father, the highest above all creation, the Lord and giver of life, did not consider it a possibility to demand his rights. He could have, by all accounts, remained where he was. But instead, he came down and took our limits upon him, our flesh, our suffering, our corruption. He took all of that upon himself, body and soul. And not simply our flesh, but of the humblest sort. Not a king, not an emperor, but a servant of no reputation. And he submitted his flesh, our flesh, to death, but not a glorious death. Even martyrs, even heroes can have glorious deaths. But he took upon himself the lowest of deaths, the death of a criminal. As the Gospels describe it, he was set among the revolutionaries, the lest I, They were the zealots. They were committed to destroying the world around them. And Jesus was killed as one of them. And as a result of Jesus's incarnation, as a result of his submission, as a result of his humiliation, he has now been given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that he is the King. This is the joy of the resurrection. This is the joy of Jesus taking upon himself our condition so that we might be set free. And so we ask, in our collect today, as a result of this great victory that the Father has won in the death of his Son, that we might follow the example of his patience. Paul says, let this same mind be in you which was in Messiah. What mind was in Messiah? He was patient with those around him. Peter had despised and abandoned him. Judas had sold him for pocket change. The mob had arrested him. His torturers had taken joy in seeing him suffer. Pilate had accused him mockingly of being the one that he had actually been, Israel's king. They spit on him. They nailed him to a cross. He suffered bodily. And the high priest, that counterfeit one, mocking the true high priest, offering himself as the one and great sacrifice, mocked him, and the Father left him, and he died. He was patient in the midst of all of that. And we ask God's grace to follow that patience, that we each one in our own way, not to save ourselves, but to follow him patiently, to follow him truly, to follow him in faith. Jesus tells us to take up our own crosses, to submit ourselves to the Father's will, and to tenderly love those whom he has placed in our lives, our wives, our husbands, our children, that we must restrain ourselves when we are abused by our enemies, that we should go even further than that and wish the best for our enemies, not wishing their destruction, but wishing their conversion, and desiring the goodwill of our neighbors, hoping the best in others instead of hoping to catch them out. And of course, that four-letter or so word, revenge, should never be spoken among Christians. And above all, that we should be quick to confess the sins that we have committed against others. This is what it means to follow the example of Jesus' patience. And to what end, my friends? To follow the patience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what is the result of that? That we may be made partakers of his resurrection. Made partakers of the resurrection. This is the goal of every Christian's hope. Not to go to heaven when we die, but to be raised and to be found standing next to the glorified Christ. This is the result, you see, of following the example of Jesus' patience, that when we are raised by him, by his mighty resurrection life, we will be made like him. Paul describes his own sufferings for Christ's sake in these words, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, so that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is the great and glorious hope of all those who have placed their faith in the crucified and resurrected Jesus. That we, if by any chance, but certainly with confidence in his love for us, might be found standing next to him when he is revealed in glory. My friends, the confidence and hope that comes from the sight of the crucified king is overwhelming. Yes, it is one of the most terrible sights that any human could possibly see. But when we see with the eyes of faith, when the church presents him to us, our king, crucified and yet resurrected, we now may have hope that the Father who loved us before we ever loved him has done all that is necessary that we may be set free from the powers of darkness. And he now has given us his own spirit that we may follow the Master where he's led away. Amen.
You've been listening to For All the Saints, a ministry of All Saints Church. If you would like to learn more about the Christian life in the Anglican way, we invite you to join our community each Sunday at 9 a.m. in the Marie McDonald Chapel on the campus of New Covenant Schools, located at 122 Fleetwood Drive in Lynchburg. Or you may visit us on the web at www.allsaintschurchlynchburg.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeremy Rowe.